just before we go ahead with the baptism, just to fill you in a little bit about what it's all about, what is going on. I guess for a number of you, it's the first time you've seen a baptism like this, and as you'll see, there's a whole load of water. The whole point of baptism is to be totally immersed, totally saturated, totally submerged. That's kind of what's embodied in the word. And it was a word that was used for ships that were sunk. Although I hope we're not going to have a shipwreck this morning as we're here. But there is a complete participation in what is going on. It's so much more than some kind of tokenism. It's more than dipping a toe in the water, as you will discover. It's more than symbolic, although it doesn't make you a Christian, but things take place, things change as a result of baptism. Or to put it another way, we are here to demonstrating something that has already taken place in Sean. And the forgiveness and the new life that he has received in Jesus. But then there is also something powerful in this act. As if you like, there is more to be added with your life journey with God. There is a fresh and a deeper encounter with God. Sean talks about encounters he's had with God. There's something that happened afresh this morning, because it's all about a growing relationship. Because forgiveness and new life in Jesus is about restoring relationship with God himself in Jesus. That's what it's all about, that he's bringing us into that place. When Jesus himself was baptized, and his baptism was one of the ways that he fully identified with us, the Holy Spirit came upon him. The tangible presence and empowering of God came upon him, and we should expect nothing less when Sean is baptized this morning. Because baptism also connects us with what has taken place in three ways. There is a death, there is a burial, and there is a resurrection. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Without the forgiveness and new life that is available to us in Jesus, you get what you pay for. And that is death, eternal separation from God in the reality of hell. But the forgiveness, the new life that we have in Jesus, eternal life in Jesus, as I'll explain a bit more in a second, comes about because Jesus gave his life for us. And we get eternal life with Jesus as a result of what he has done for us. Again, the Bible says this: every human being is appointed to die once and then face God's judgment. And by the way, that isn't the opportunity that we have to explain to God what amazing people we are and why he should be so happy to have us in his kingdom. It's kind of not that at all. It is a judgment that is based on this central question: what have you done with my son Jesus? Have you recognized your need for forgiveness and a new life? Have you received the total transformation that he and he alone can bring? Again, the Bible tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us while we were still sinners. He died for us. In other words, we had no part to play. God is not the God for good people. And I think sometimes that is an issue and a problem, thinking, well, I kind of know what I'm like, and I'd sooner other people didn't know all the details. And you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not that kind of person. But God isn't a God for good people. He's for people who recognize need, who recognize the reality of who we are. And Jesus died in our place when we had nothing to offer, nothing that commended us to him. He died in our place, and he offers us new life in him. That is what he is about, that we might be one with him. And for that to happen, first we have to die to our old life. That's the death bit of what takes place. And then there is a burial. And as we know, when a burial takes place, there is absolutely no doubt you're dead. As Sean goes down into that water, as we hold him underneath, but if we did... that there will be a death. There's no way back from that position, that there is a finality about it. You have no further inputs when that's come about. And the Bible explains to us that when Jesus was crucified, it was not for his own sin. He didn't have any sin. But he died, he was crucified for ours. It was my sin, it was your sin that took Jesus to the cross. And just to help you, sin is, well, we can describe it all kinds of ways. It's the wrong things that we do. It's the pride that we have. It's the lack of humility that we might have. It's our self-reliance, our independence, even our telling God what he should be like and what he should do for us and taking his place, all those things. But when we recognize our position and our need for forgiveness and we respond to Jesus' offer of forgiveness and a new life, our old life, with all that was attached to it, is buried. It is gone. It is done away with. It is never coming back. And when Jesus was dead, he was taken down from the cross and he was buried. And that is like as if when we come to him for the forgiveness and new life, it's like we were buried with him. Our old life was buried with him. Because when Jesus deals with our past, all the wrong that we have done, it is gone for good. There are no skeletons in the cupboards. I think some of us will be very grateful that there aren't the skeletons there. There aren't those things to be exposed. They're gone. They're dealt with. They're gone. They're never to return. So you have the death, you have the burial, but then the thing we look forward to, and I guess Sean would be looking forward to, is the resurrection. You come back up out of the water. That there was a time when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said to Nicodemus, he said, "Take it from me, unless a person is born from above, it is not possible to see what I'm pointing out to, God's kingdom." The point is, Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth and not simply a physical rebirth. Nicodemus was puzzled by it and he said, "How can anyone be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying about this born from above talk?" And Nicodemus was actually a very intelligent man, a clever man, but he was utterly clueless when it came to understanding what Jesus was talking about. He struggled to understand because it was outside of his experience. It was outside of his natural thinking. Because there is another dimension, the supernatural kingdom of God. So Jesus, he carries on this conversation. He says to him, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation," that's a picture of the Holy Spirit, "the invisible moving the visible." It was just a saying that actually the spiritual is more real than the physical. There's something greater than the physical, which is the spiritual world of God's. It says this, "the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life." Remember what I said, baptism is to be totally immersed, totally submerged, totally saturated. This life is not an add-on, this is totally new, it's totally overwhelming, it's everything is involved in this life. He said, "Without that it's not possible to enter the kingdom of God." But when it does happen, we're totally immersed, as you can tell with Sean, we're totally immersed into this wonderful new life. And so Jesus said, when you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you cannot see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. That is the eternal you he's talking about. It's what separates us from every other creature, every other animal. We have a spirit. We've had this spirit of God breathed into us that separates us from every other creature. And so he says, "Don't be surprised when I tell you, you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That is the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God." In other words, he's saying you can't control the Holy Spirit any more than you can control the wind. All you can do is, like a sailor would do, you set your sail to the wind to catch the way it's blowing and what it's doing. It's that the same with the Spirit of God. We set our spiritual sails, so to speak, so that we catch the breath of God, we catch what he is doing and the way he is moving in our lives. And as a result of all this, resurrection has taken place. We are resurrected with Jesus. Paul, one of the Bible writers, says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is the summing up everything that's happened. Because of the love of God, because of the transformation that's taken place. When Jesus died, I died with him. My old life is gone. It is finished. It is over. It is never to return. It is buried. And my new life is a life that is not lived alone, but it is a life that is forever lived, joined to Jesus. It is a life that we walk through with him. And it's all taken hold of by faith. And what gives us the confidence? Because God loves us. That's at the heart of it all. He loves us. A love that he has shown by dying in our place. On another occasion, Peter, one of Jesus' followers, was speaking to a crowd of people, explaining all of these things. And when he got to the end of it, we're told this, the people said, they said they were cut to the heart by what they heard. And they said to Peter, they said, what shall we do? And this is what Peter said: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That is the promise. That is what it is all about. And some of what Sean was saying is the tug of God on his heart, the tug of God, the call, so to speak, pulling him, drawing him, as he draws each one of us. That's what's taken place in Sean, that's what's taken place in others of us. And I know Sean, myself, and others who have experienced these things, our greatest longing is that that would be true for each and every one of us, because there's nothing greater than that to happen. And it doesn't just kind of happen. You don't wake up one morning and it's kind of all happened overnight when you were asleep. There's something that happens. We have to recognize our condition. We have to recognize what's going on and receive this amazing offer of life and transformation that Jesus has for us. We have to let go of all the hurt, the pain, the wrong, the things that have happened. You know, some of us might want to wish we could turn the clock back. If only I could do it again. Well, actually, I can tell you what happens if you did have that opportunity. You just make a whole load of new mistakes. It's kind of, you know, the condition of life. But actually, Jesus is offering something much more than that, the total transformation with him. He is the one who provides the answer for us. We have to come to that place of repentance, a total turnaround. That's what it is. Those of you who know Sean, you will see that there's been a total turnaround in his life. And that's what happens. Jesus turns our lives around for the better. And not simply in our heads, not simply changing the way we look at life, but he changes everything about us for now and for our future. You know, forgiveness is our greatest need, and Jesus has made that possible. And I guess that there is a tug, there's a stirring, there's a sense of need, and that God calls out, he's calling us. And as we respond, life changes, and it changes forever. And with it comes the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God himself living in us. How amazing is that? He doesn't just say, pat us on the back and say, off you go, and, you know, hope you do okay. He lives every moment with us. He lives through our life. He lives his life in us and through us, helping us, strengthening us, guiding us, just nudging us, being there for us. And it's a journey that goes on through all eternity. You know, even people say when they come into, even the colours around look brighter. So everything changes. You see life, you see the world, you see everything in a different way, a new way that is so good and so precious. We're no longer limited to what we can see physically. Our spiritual eyes are open, and Sean was describing some of that. And we are able to see in a new way. Of course, we have to be careful about it, because we have to make sure that as Jesus opening our eyes to his spiritual world, there's another dark world out there, a demonic world out there that we'll have to have nothing to do with. But Jesus leads us and draws us into the reality of who he is and the world of which he is a part. And having done that, it leads us to baptism, the total saturation with Jesus and his spirit. We're going to be physically saturated in a moment or two. And it brings us into that total new life, new purpose, new future. And so that's what's going to happen. Now I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to get ready for the baptism. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your wonderful love and provision in Jesus. I thank you for the impact that that has had in so many of our lives. I thank you for what you have done and are continuing to do in Sean. And Lord, we just bless you that your heart is the same for each and every one of us. So Lord, now we just celebrate with Sean all that you're doing. We just invite you by your Spirit to come and to just saturate him and each one of us with yourself. Open our eyes to see the reality of what is going on, that we might encounter you and know you in a new and living and life-changing way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.